there, Edwina Farley with you for A Country Breakfast. Beautifully manicured lawns, pristine rows of vines with roses planted either end. They're the Instagrammable images of your traditional vineyard. But now some Australian wineries are embracing a more natural look as they manage climate change and pests.
We're certainly not a big guy, but we're trying to be a good example of what sustainable and hopefully soon organic viticulture looks like in an arid, warm, hot, arid region.
We're off to the bush vineyards later in the program. First, though, we'll have a look at the big rural news stories of the week with Serena Locke. And Serena, farmers took their fury to Canberra this week, crying out for more irrigation water from the Murray-Darling Basin.
There were around 2,000 farming families from the estimates, and they were irrigators from all along the Murray-Darling River system, mostly from southern regions, so from Victoria and southern New South Wales. And they descended on Parliament House on Monday, and they called for an end to the Murray-Darling Basin plan. Calling for Little Prout. Their farms have had no water allocations to grow crops, so they've got no income. And they blame the plan. And they demanded more access to the water that's flowing past their farms towards South Australia. But the Water Minister, David Little Prout, squashed any rumours that he had promised them more water. He has, though, ordered a very quick investigation into the water sharing arrangements. And that'll be conducted by the Interim Inspector General for the Murray-Darling Basin, Mick Kelty. And Mr. Kelty spoke to the media, but he didn't want to promise too much.
Governments can't make rain and can't make water, but they can make policies. And one of the things that I'll be doing over the course of the next 4 months until the 31st of March is conducting an inquiry into the impact of those policies on water availability.
And indeed, let's remember that the water sharing agreement is a separate one between states and federal governments. It's not part of the plan. And it's interesting, isn't it? Of course, emotions are running very high. We're in the midst of a drought. It's not a great time to be trying to reinvent all of the policy, I suppose, but people are very concerned about what's happening.
That's
we
right.
also had a further grim report about our grain crop, the smallest in 12 years.
It's a bleak picture painted by ABARES. It's slashed by 13% off the September grain forecast. Now, harvest in all states is lower, with a dry finish to a disastrous growing season. And the Australian wheat crop is tipped to be just 15.9 million tonnes. The biggest downgrading is in the export-focused state of Western Australia. ABARES senior economist Peter Collins says farmers in the West didn't get the forecast spring rains.
About 2 days after we released our crop report, that outlook was revised quite significantly for Western Australia. And the new outlook said below average rainfall, and that's what came to pass over there. And so that's led to a significant reduction in wheat production out of WA. In fact, it's a 25% reduction from what we were saying in September.
The Riverina is one of the few regions to still harvest a crop.
Yeah, at this time of year, normally Wayne Brooker would be working on his own farm in the New South Wales Riverina, but because of a lack of allocated water and the high price, he finds himself harvesting for someone else. And Wayne Brooker spoke to our reporter as he did a lap around the wheat paddock.
Most of us guys driving at the moment have got farms of our own. So, yeah, so with the lack of water around, we've all had to go and get jobs, and you know, the water job at the moment is just a disaster. So we've really had to go and look for off-farm work to try and keep going.
So do you normally put in your own crops at home and with irrigation water?
Yeah. We've got 1,400 acres there, my wife and I, but this year we've had zero allocation for the second year. So, I'm out driving for other blokes trying to, keep our head above water at the moment.
Charities are being overwhelmed by demand from farmers who are struggling to pay the bills because of drought.
The federal government has announced its second round of the Drought Community Support Initiative. It allows the Salvation Army and St Vincent's de Paul to hand out $3,000 cash grants to farming families. And Vinnie's National Vice President Maurie Ryan says there's been a huge demand for help from the eastern states, so much so they've actually allocated half their packages in just a week.
The package is a $3,000 cash grant to a household. There is one package per household, and that can be for farmers, farm workers, farm suppliers or contractors. And you must be over 18 and you must be an Australian citizen. A lot of farmers are hurting and are struggling badly. And one of the issues is that they are having difficulty putting food on the table and finding fuel for their motor cars.
So just to emphasise, Vinnie's has allocated in 1 week half of all its aid packages to farmers, that it was supposed to last for another 7 months.
Oh, that is grim, isn't it? Mm. The Climate Council says we're seeing climate change in action. Its call for urgent action coincides with the international COP25 meeting in Madrid.
Yeah, so the Climate Council's report is called Dangerous Summer Ahead. We've already had the Bureau of Meteorology's long-range forecast pointing to warmer than average temperatures and below average rainfall for southern half of Australia. The report author, Professor Will Steffen, says summer in New South Wales is shaping up as a terrible trifecta of heatwaves, drought and bushfires, and action must be taken immediately. Professor Will Steffen says it's not just the severe heat.
But also we're seeing over the last two or three decades a decline in cool season rainfall in southeastern Australia. And that's very likely linked to climate change because those rain-bearing fronts that come off the Southern Ocean in the colder part of the year, they're slipping southwards as the tropics expand. And that's a consequence of climate change.
And farmers are seeing the change happen now.
Yes, farmers like Robert Lee in northwest New South Wales. He says he's normally got spring grass up to his knees, but the paddocks are barren.
I've been worried about climate change and I've been reading about it for probably 15 years and it is very frustrating, the responses that society is having to the science that has been telling us this is going to happen. The only mistake they've made is they've been too conservative. They were predicting it to happen in the next 10 or 20 years, what we're experiencing now. And so that makes me very, very frustrated.
Coles Supermarket has been forced to pay more than $5 million to dairy farmers in New South Wales and Queensland who've been missing out on the higher milk price at Coles.
Yes, it follows an ACCC investigation into whether Coles fully passed on to Norco milk processors a 10 cent per litre price rise that it charged consumers for its own branded milk from earlier this year. The competition watchdog was prepared to take Coles to court, saying it was an egregious breach of consumer law. And Coles at the time made a big show of the price rise, saying it supported farmers in drought. But Norco suppliers in northern New South Wales and southern Queensland said they weren't seeing the money. So Coles will now pay Norco Milk Co-op the $5.25 million, which Norco says it will pass on fully to dairy farmers. Here's that Norco CEO, Mike Hampson.
This will make its way back to our members, which will be very much appreciated in a time where we're battling some of the worst climatic conditions that our members have ever faced. We certainly wouldn't be saying that this drought is easily fixed by just this amount. We've also sought to increase our milk price on Tuesday with a recommendation to the board as well by a further 2 cents. So Norco is doing everything that it can to help its members through this very, very trying time.
A commercial meatworks has reopened in the Northern Territory after being closed for 16 years.
Yeah, the Bachelor Meatworks will process cattle and buffalo in the Top End. The abattoir is 100 kilometres south of Darwin. It hasn't operated since 2003, but it's been brought back to life thanks to a multi-million dollar refurbishment by the meat company Central Agri Group. There's been no commercial scale meatworks since the closure of AACo's plant nearly 18 months ago. Now, inside the boning room, Peter Polovenka, one of the owners of the Bachelor Meatworks, said it was a lot of work to get the meatworks started again.
It means a lot to me to be able to start processing cattle and buffalo here for the Northern Territory farmers and station owners. And it's good for the economy here too in the Territory that we can process beef and buffalo here and send all over the world.
The Country Hour celebrated its 74th birthday this week, the world's oldest continuous radio program. And we all learnt a little bit of ABC history. It certainly took off on social media.
It was a great story. So the story goes, the first Country Hour or rural program went to air December 3rd, 1945. And one of the program's longest serving presenters was Alan Humphreys, who spent years hosting the Northern Territory and New South Wales Country Hours during the 70s and 80s. Humphreys was the first ABC radio host to ever use the dump button on the ABC. Now, it happened during a gardening show when a talkback caller rang in.
And he said, Yeah, g'day. Look, it's like this. I've got these marijuana plants in the back of the garden, and they're getting a bit too tall. And I'm afraid the coppers can spot them over the fence. But, mate, I want to reduce the height, but not affect the yield. Now, at this stage, I was beginning to think that my ABC career was going to come to a very abrupt end.
Hit the dump button, Alan.
I hit the dump button.
Great story.
That's fantastic, isn't it? Not one that we'll be throwing at Costa to surprise him anytime soon. But
I'm sure he wouldn't be surprised by those sorts of things anyway.
No, absolutely. We've all hit the dump button, haven't we?
Yep, we have.
Serena, thanks so much.
Thanks, Edwina.
Serena Locke there with this week's Rural News.